For you were once darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Live as children of light. Men, he's talking about you. Stick around. Let's talk about it.
Houston, we have a problem.
Habemos papam.
Podcasting from a parking lot in the Woodlands, Texas, it's the Catholic Hack with Joe McClain.
Take this, all of you, and eat it. This is my body, which will be given up for you.
1 Peter 3:15. Always be ready to give an explanation to anyone who asks you for a reason for your hope.
Take this, all of you, and drink from it. This is the cup of my blood, the blood of the new and everlasting covenant. It will be shed for you and for all, so that sins may be forgiven.
The Church of the Living God, the pillar and foundation of truth. 1 Timothy 3:15.
Do this in memory of me.
Welcome back to the Catholic Hack. I'm Joe McClain. This is episode number 18. And today I get to share with you another very special treat. And it's an interview with the president of the Kingsmen Apostolate, Mr. Mark Hauck. This was a fantastic interview. I thoroughly enjoyed it. It was over my cell phone, so the interview audio quality is not the best, but I think you will still be able to hear it good enough and clear enough, and I think you'll enjoy this. This was great material. It's a topic very near and dear to my heart. It's on the sexual integrity of men. We need to stand up and be men of light so that we can build up our families and bring our society to God. So without further ado, let's roll up our sleeves and let's dive deep and let's get to the truth.
You want answers?
I think I'm entitled.
You want answers?
I want the truth. You can't handle the truth.
This school, when I sit, even just a little bit, I get hit with the power that made the veil in the temple split. When I submit, fall on the floor and adore. Can't get enough, got to come back for some more.
Hey, we've got a problem here.
Sinner, every human hypocrite can benefit in this school. Repent and commit.
Roger that.
As the incense rises up in adoration of the throne, something happens to my wounded heart from all the love revealed and shown. Bright like Shekinah comes to my aid to persist, to change and sustain the way I think it exists. To feel the bliss because my name is in the book of life's list. That's what happens when you sit in the school of the Eucharist.
Mr. Emmett, take her down. Make your depth 150 feet, 10 degree down bubble.
150 feet, 10 degree down bubble. Aye, sir.
Dive.
Welcome back to the Catholic Hack. I'm Joe McClain. Today we have a great treat in store for you. It's we're going to have an interview with Mark Hauck from the Kingsmen Apostolate. Mark, thank you for coming on the show.
Joe, great. Thanks for having me. It's a pleasure.
So why don't we get started with, why don't you give yourself an introduction, give us a little bit of background, talk about the apostolate that you run.
Absolutely. Thanks again for this opportunity to share. And the Kingsmen is a new apostolate. We're 1 year in full-time work to men. We're based out of the Philadelphia area. And basically, we grew out of a program that began with just three men coming together for weekly accountability in their lives, just seeking holiness and trying to grow as men. And we were seeing so much fruit in our lives, myself being one of those three men, another man, Damian Warga, who co-founded the Kingsmen, and we wanted to invite other men into this band of brothers that we were developing for ourselves a little over 3 years ago. And as I said, we were developing so much fruit in our personal lives that we decided to invite other men. We did that, and over the course of that first couple years in just doing this on a part-time volunteer basis, we have had over 100 men and 12 priests come to be a part of these gatherings on a weekly basis. And we saw that there was something much larger here than a weekly accountability / formation group for men. And we met with our bishop here in the Archdiocese of Philadelphia, and he blessed what we were doing, Bishop Joseph McFadden. He's an auxiliary bishop here, and he said, keep doing what you're doing, and let this thing grow from the bottom up. He didn't want to enforce anything top-down, and so we're a grassroots effort. And as August 28th of 2006, the Feast of St. Augustine, our patron saint, we decided to take a leap of faith and try and do this work full-time. We're offering men not only weekly accountability and formation through our weekly meetings, But we also have an educational component of our ministry, which is to do conferences for men, retreats for men. We also do activism as men. We're fighting pornography, the multi-billion dollar pornography industry, full-time. And that's a work in itself, but it's part of our mission. And we're also helping men heal, because we found that there's a lot of men that don't know where to go for mentorship and healing. And so that's all kind of wrapped into the whole Kingsmen apostolate that is only a year old.
That's pretty fantastic. Now, I see that you went to Catholic University of America, and you wanted to be a professional football player. How does one go from wanting to play in the NFL to running an apostolate to encourage men to remain sexually pure?
Yeah, not easily. It's a journey, that's for sure. Starting out as a young man, I did pursue professional sports. I did have a brief opportunity. Going to a small school like Catholic University would only create for a very small window of opportunity to pursue the professional ranks, and it did not become a reality for me. I could not close that gap there. That's often between coming from a small school and a larger school, or whatever. But the Lord had a plan, and as much as I was disappointed in that, I kind of went into corporate America and got very disillusioned by that whole experience at post-college, and decided to work with young people. And I pursued a master's in education, was working as a counselor at a juvenile detention center, and I just saw a need in the young people for a good message, especially in the juvenile justice system and the juvenile delinquents. You know, they aren't always coming from good homes and environments, and so I recognized that they weren't getting the message of chastity in that population, and this was a real high-risk group of kids. So while I was getting my master's, I started to plug in with different groups that were doing chastity education. International chastity educator Molly Kelly moved into my neighborhood, as God would have it, and I just kind of listened to the Lord and said, well, what are you trying to do here? And I saw her witness in her life and what she did traveling the world and the country, and she started to mentor me. And we started speaking together, and I started working full-time post my master's degree in education for a pro-life organization. So I started becoming a full-time pro-life activist as well as a chastity educator. And God used all that to bring me to where I'm at today with the mission of the Kingsmen, because we're still activists and we're still lecturing teens and educating parents on the benefits of chastity. But it's come into a fullness for men, for this developing authentic masculinity, tying in the virtue of chastity. But being a man is not just about being a chaste man. It's about being a virtuous man in all areas of his life. And not every man, let's be honest, struggles with sexual integrity, although it is very much a struggle for us as young men. So being a young man myself, I often have a propensity to kind of steer some of my speaking in that direction when I'm speaking to a young audience, but we want to develop the entire man and, help him in all areas of his life.
That's pretty great. Now, I know that you, the way I caught on to you was through your radio program, and I actually listened by the podcast downloads. I'm not fortunate enough to be in an area where I can listen over the radio, although you do. I think you can listen over the internet live. Is that not true?
It's correct. There's a bit of a delay, but yeah, we actually learned that the hard way. I was actually got engaged on one of my programs, and my sister was listening in Chicago on the internet, and she actually called into the program, and right after I proposed, and she said yes, thanks be to God, my sister called in. I said, well, did you hear? And she said no, and she hadn't heard it yet. So there was a bit of a delay, but yeah, she can listen on the internet, and I can't say my charisms for radio, but I enjoy it. It's a great way to educate and let people know what we're doing and just to bring great speakers on and guests on like yourself. Maybe perhaps you could do that one of these days. We can talk about your work in the future.
That'd be fantastic. I actually really like your program. I think you do a fantastic job. You've had some really great guests on there. Obviously, you know, Damien and Father Chavez and, you know, all these guests, they've been really fantastic. So I think, in my opinion, it's a hidden gem, and that's why I wanted to have you on, because I really think more people need to hear this message, especially, you know, for me it's a personal message. I am one of those men who have struggled with sexual integrity. You know, I came before my conversion from a mentality where I was just, my mind was saturated in pornography, and I was truly a slave to that. So this is a message that is near and dear to my heart. So I really do appreciate you, your apostle. Now, one of the things that that I like about the seminars that you give, and although I have not been fortunate enough to have attended them simply by location, is I think your seminars, your type of seminars, are a bit different than the standard fare. Can you talk about what you do in your seminars?
Sure, yeah. Well, we have quarterly conferences or seminars for men, and we try to have a very masculine, we try to present the faith in a very masculine modality. A lot of times, conferences or retreats or could possibly go in a variety of directions, perhaps more fellowship-driven, perhaps, you know, maybe even be presented in more of a feminine modality. So we want our conferences to always have authentic masculinity as its focus. We want to have a positive setting for men, but we want to encourage men to be men and experience that from speakers who are experiencing it firsthand in their mission in life, their vocation, wherever they find themselves in. They want to bring speakers in that are going to speak to the heart of men, specifically a man's issue. So we're not necessarily going to have women come to these conferences. It's only open to men, and we really wouldn't have a woman lecturing a man. So it's going to always be a man, which is probably going to be different than some of the seminars out there. A man cannot be led by a woman. He needs to be led by another man. And so we realize that there are a lot of men out there that are looking for this in their life. They're looking to be summoned, looking to be called. And this has to come first and foremost from our priests. So we want to have solid priests. Not that there's a lot of wonderful priests out there, but sometimes there are some priests, you know, Sally, that aren't necessarily good at summoning men. They're not able to call men. They're not able to reach into the heart of a man and invite him to the battle. And so our seminars, our conferences are going to be very focused on the natural man, grace building upon nature, addressing his natural you know, gifts and his natural virtue that's in him, but also drawing him to the supernatural. And only a priest can really do that well, typically, you know. And we have Father Chavez, thanks be to God, who's a great priest, Society of Our Lady of the Most Holy Trinity, as a confrere, Father John Carafi. So these types of priests are the type of priests we want to work with and have there so that they can invite men. Yesterday we had the gospel where Jesus sent out the 72 and he sent them out in pairs, but he was training them the whole time, you know. And so we need our priests. We need mentors that may not necessarily be priests. That Dr. Philip Mango, he's one such speaker that we bring in who's just really understands what it means to be a Catholic man in the world today. And he worked with Mother Teresa up in New York, but he's a guy that is living, walking the walk, I should say, and definitely talking the talk. He's a cop on the beat in New York City. He's a licensed psychotherapist, and you know, so he has a lot to offer men, especially with regard to healing. So our conferences, our retreats are going to definitely be geared towards a faith formation that is kind of cutting edge. Definitely, you know, not going to be something that a man's typically going to hear at a co-ed retreat or even a feel-good retreat. He's going to be challenged. He's going to be summoned. He's going to be invited. He's going to be convicted of things that he's not doing as a man. And he's going to be asked to become this warrior that is in him to be. And you know, he's really going to be asked to search his heart and see if he has been not measuring up, and then now to take steps to measure up and to take his faith to action.
Yeah, that's I so can relate to that. Masculinity. I mean, Father Carafi, whom you mentioned, which is a confrere to Father Chavez. I mean, look at this. When this man speaks, you know, men just perk up. I mean, because they, you know, he's not a frail man. He's very masculine in his speech. I was fortunate to be able to meet Father Carafi at the Boston Men's Conference back. I think it was 2006. And it's just hard not to be inspired by
the exuberance of his masculinity as men. We're, you know, we feel like we're ready to charge the battlefield. So if your conferences are like that, they're geared that way, I can't help but believe that men are coming out of there just simply on fire and ready to charge Calvary and pick up their cross and attack. You know, it's so exciting. I really want to encourage my listeners to plug in, and if at all possible, try to attend these seminars, and maybe we can get something lined up, and maybe you can do a seminar down here in the South, and we can plug some of these men in.
That would be our hope, Joe, as you said, that these men, they have a renewed sense of energy to serve the church and to serve their communities and to serve their wives and to serve their brothers and sisters out there. And so that would be our hope. And as you said, yeah, Father Crappie, no one does it like him. And I think what we as men most recognize in a man like a Father Crappie, in Christ's words and in a John Paul II, is we hear the truth. And when the men hear the truth, you know, as hard as it is at times to hear, we want it. And this is true of the young people and women, but definitely for men. I mean, we need someone that's not going to mince words and tell us like it is, just like Jesus did.
Right, exactly. Well, okay, well, let's get to why. Because I speak to a lot of my ministry, believe it or not, I feel called to Catholics. God puts me in many situations dealing with Catholics that don't understand some of the church teaching. They have a hard time with relativism and what truth really is, and especially when it comes to our sexuality, you know, as men, they'll say, well, you know, what's the harm in perusing the menu, you know, so to speak? Why should men, you know, reevaluate their thought process on what it means to be sexual as a man?
Well, you're hit at the heart of it. Our sexuality, for us as men and for women, it's so important, and it's and Jesus, of course, you know, through Paul and in his epistles, we see the importance of sexuality, and we see how this is really a staging ground for the devil's attack, and he's attacking the body, he's attacking sexuality, and us as men are really falling asleep at our post here, and just like Adam fell asleep with Eve. He was standing right there, you know, and when Eve was tempted. We don't hear him say anything. So it's so important that men start to recognize and see that, you know, there is a battle for souls here, and the battle's being waged with regard to our sexuality and the messages that we're getting as men. And as you say, you know, peruse the menu. And there's so many messages out there, and the majority of them are disordered. They're not the right message. It's the message of sexual license. It's impurity. It's relativism, ethical relativism, if I can get that word out. And they're seeing, you know, that what's right for me is right for me. And they're basing these decisions. We're protesting pornography, the King's Men. And so many times we see men and say, you know, why don't you go fight the big issues? And somehow there's a disconnect, Joe. There's a disconnect with men that they're not seeing their sexuality as vital in this battle. It's personal. Men can be, you know, engaging in these things on a very anonymous level, and especially with things like internet pornography. So they're so desensitized to the magnitude here, because everything's pleasure-driven. Everything is a, you know, even in the commercials and the media, you know, always geared towards the visual stimuli of a man, and he just sees it as pleasure being the ultimate good, as hedonism, as Pope Benedict talks about all the time. This hedonistic attitude that is in the culture, in our media, and the men are I think the biggest, I guess they're targeted the most, I should say, and we're falling asleep just like Adam did, and men need to wake up, and that's what we hope the King's Men and podcasts like, you know, that you're doing, Joe, and everything that we are offering men to just wake up and see, do you see what we're doing? We are the backbone of the church. The church is only as strong as its men, and if we as men don't recognize that, our church is going to continue to be unhealthy, and just further get worse. So, you know, but we believe in you know, that we've won the battle. We know that. We know how it ends. But we just as men need to be faithful and step up and start living out our vocation as men.
Absolutely. You know, like I was telling you before the podcast, I'm participating in a program called That Man Is You at my parish, which starts every Tuesday morning at 5:30 a.m. And praise God, over 100 men have showed up every week now so far. And recently we've discussed theology of the body. We've discussed the Trinity. And these are two crucial pieces for my personal conversion and trying to understand why it is that I need to reevaluate my worldview as it relates to my sexuality. You know, understanding my sexuality in the Trinity was although a deep topic, was pretty critical. And but what we discussed this last week at That Man Is You was what the effects were on society as a result to these choices that we've made. You know, how we can see how society is disintegrating, and we can bring that all back to the choices that we as men make. You know, when we choose to treat not only our bodies, but the bodies of women who are made in the image and likeness of God as a commodity, like a Coke can that once I consumed it, I crumple it and toss it to the side. You know, how disordered that view is. Can you just, in your experience in this apostle, can you relate to how society is really sort of crumbling as the effects of this disordered worldview?
Absolutely. I mean, we see it every day. We see it in the work that we're doing. As I said, you know, we are activists and we're fighting the multi-billion-dollar pornography industry, and you can just see the levels of disorder that it goes when a man is given the wrong message. And thanks be to God, we have the theology of the body to right the ships, so to speak. And John Paul was really tapping into our subjective reality, this brokenness, this wounds that we all have, us as men and women. And you see this, that a man who is looking to disordered things, disordered lifestyles, whether it's pornography, same-sex attraction, or whatever, women as well, these are hurting people, Joe, and hurting people end up hurting other people. And people who look at pornography or addicted to it or using these types of vices they're basically looking to medicate themselves. And so when we see these disorders in the world, we see a hurting world. We see people who are wounded, and they're trying to treat their trauma, their wounds, with this addiction, whatever it is. It could be drugs, it could be pornography, it could be alcohol. And so I guess when I see these men and when I see what's happening in the world, as Jesus looked upon, you know, the towns, you know, I think he's looking over at Capernaum or whatever in Scripture, and he just wanted to call them to, like a mother hen calls to his breast, and discomfort and the compassion. And so I think when I look at these men, it's almost like I just have tremendous compassion and just want to offer them what I've been offered, what I've come to see, you know, the light that Ephesians 5 talks about, that we need to be light. And that when the darkness, light is shined on the darkness, you know, it is now a new life that we find in Christ. And he can give us that life-giving water that he wants to give us, that just continually feeds us. But if men, especially men, keep feeding themselves, drinking from the well of their sexuality, so to speak, they're always going to be thirsty. They're never going to find happiness. They're never going to find fulfillment. And this is what I see in the men out there, and I see tremendous compassion in other men that I work with who have been wounded and just want to reach out and help. Unfortunately, the world looks upon some of the things that we're doing, saying that, you know, we're not respecting other people's rights to privacy and so forth. And this is true in the pro-life movement. This is true in all these movements that are in our church to help right these disorders that have come about, whether it's courage, dealing with same-sex attraction. You see it everywhere. You know, everyone sees it as our inability to love, but really they don't realize that the truth is in fact love, and it will set them free.
Oh, yeah. And, you know, you brought up an excellent point about not being satisfied. It is very much like a disease in that it really, its hunger can never be quenched. And as a man who's been there, and, you know, It's just you go from one perverse level to the next deeper perverse level until, you know, you find yourself so deep that you feel despair and that you can never come out. I can recall being sitting in an RCIA meeting and going over the Beatitudes and thinking to myself, there's just no way. There is no way I can live that out. And I felt despair because I knew, I was being honest with myself, there's just no way. And then obviously some time later when I had a real conversion experience and I remember being set free from that. And that's one of the things that I really want to relate in what I do, and I'm sure you do as well, is to let men know that they can be set free, that they are not slaves, that Christ came to set them free from this bondage of pornography and sexual license and lust, and that they don't have to lust. And you brought up Ephesians 5, which was one of my favorite passages when talking about this subject. Because when I read this, you know, for the first time after my conversion, and I saw how we're to be this light, this image of lightness, of light versus darkness, and then when it gets into husbands, love your wives, even as Christ loved the church and handed himself over for her, and to sanctify her, cleansing her by the bath of water with the word, that he might present to himself the church in splendor without spot or wrinkle or any such thing, that she might be holy and without blemish. I thought, that is setting the bar high. I'm to love my wife. Now, even if I'm not a married man yet, you know, I'm to act as Christ? Well, Christ died for his spouse. Am I prepared to go to the cross? Am I prepared to go to Calvary? That kind of sacrifice for my spouse, that really spoke to my heart and really set the bar high. I mean, so is that the example that we should, as men, should look to? Is it really that serious for us?
Oh, it has to be. I mean, it's only through, as Christopher West would say, the redemptive power of the cross that we can find this true happiness in this life and learn what it means to be human, and this is what John Paul's getting at. So I think that you hit it right on the head, Joe. I mean, that's it in a nutshell. That's the great mystery that Paul talks about right there. And so many men and so many women misinterpret that. We know that Ephesians 5 is probably the most misunderstood chapter in all Scripture. You know, but if we get it right, if the men get it right, if they understand, as you say, this call to serve, you know, and Christ laying down his wife for his bride, that's what we must do. We must become sacrificial lovers as men. And this doesn't have to be in just a married state. This is in our vocation as single men, as consecrated men, as religious men, or, you know, priests. We all have to be laying down our lives. And some have to do it more fully with another person, such as a wife. But clearly, as the theology of the body would say, that our priests are the ones that are truly, it's the highest vocation that we could ever aspire to die to self and to give our life to Christ and to be the bride of Christ as a consecrated celibate here on this earth. So it's at the heart of all of it with our sexuality. If men can just understand that we're called to serve and not be a dictator or authoritarian or whatever, as people would be inclined to think who are not learned in the faith, you know, or understanding what is being said there. But I think you're right. I think this is the example. This is the bar. This is what men need to strive to. And women need to understand it, too, if they're truly going to compliment us on this journey.
Oh, absolutely. It's funny, this is a very misunderstood passage. My wife and I were keynote speakers at an engaged couple seminar in the Diocese of New Hampshire for a couple, 3 years, and we would give this talk on sexuality, you know, 2-3 times a year, and I would always bring up Ephesians 5, and I would always read the verse about wives being submissive to their husbands. And I would always get the death stare from the ladies in the audience, you know, and I would, you know, swallow deeply and try, and I would say, you know what, listen to what comes next. Don't get hung up on that verse, because the very next
thing that St. Paul tells us is, men, be like Christ. Be ready to die. I mean, I would say, you've got the easier of the two. I mean, he's not saying, women, be like Christ and be prepared to die. I mean, he's saying that to the men. He's making sure that the men understand just how critical their role is in their family. And that's part of the destruction of society that we see as men. We're falling asleep at the wheel here, and we're letting our families face, you know, the torrent of society,
right,
like Adam did to Eve. We're not standing up. We're not stepping into the fray and blocking this stuff. We're just letting it all happen. I mean, how sad that is, isn't it?
It is sad, and most men don't get that and realize that they need to answer the question, what are you willing to die for? And if they're not prepared to answer that question, you know, or even step up to do that that challenge there, then they're not living out their manhood. They're not being that leader, protector, provider that they're called to be. And so a lot of times it's a process here in men addressing their own healing and understanding that. But you're right. I think the false feminist movement has really trained the women of today to see such a message as Paul's message and what you were trying to share at your pre-Cana program there. They're programmed to see that as oppression, or see that as you know, men, you know, male chauvinist pigs or whatever you want to say. And it's sad. It's really sad because truly it edifies women. It truly puts them up on an even higher pedestal than we should be as men, and or that we are as men, I should say, and that society would say where we need to be, or that maybe the male chauvinist would say we need to be. But it's sad that they don't recognize that, and that they don't see that this is really to their benefit. But I encourage you to keep sharing that and keep giving witness to that in your marriage prep programs.
I appreciate that. So where can we go for help? I mean, we have the Kingsmen Apostolate, but what, as men, where can we go to be educated? Where can we go to get our minds right? I mean, what tools are out there to really help men and encourage men?
Well, you know, thanks be to God, the Catholic men's movement is growing. And as you see through That Man Is You, that program you're involved in Houston, Steve Bauman, I have that correct? His program is doing great work. But the Catholic men's movement is really, they're popping up all over, these different men's groups and so forth. The King's Men is just one small piece in the pie. But there's a lot of places where men can go for help. Now, it depends on what help they're looking for. I mean, as I said, a man needs to search himself first and recognize that he needs help, that he wants to get well. Since a lot of us are broken, in fact, all of us were broken, you know, we got to first say, I want to get well. I mean, Jesus is the perfect gentleman. He's not going to make us get well. He's going to invite us to healing, but we have to go to him. And this is said time and time again in Scripture. Jesus is saying, what do you want me to do for you? Well, we as men first, if we're going to get help or seek help, we need to say to Jesus, I want to be well. And so that begins with the sacraments, you know. But for men, if they're not in touch with their faith, if they're not plugged in to weekly Mass, at least the very minimum Sunday Mass, then they may have to address this on a more natural level first. Whether that could mean professional counseling, you know, CatholicTherapist.com. There's a great network of Catholic therapists like Dr. Philip Mango who are helping men address some of these wounds in their life. So, you know, but that question that's fundamental. They must decide that they want to get well. The second question is, what are they thirsty for? You know, if they're going to truly seek help for themselves and their lives and start living out, you know, what God has for them, that mission that he has for each one of us as a man, they need to figure out what they're thirsty for. Are they thirsty for things only of the flesh, or are they thirsty for things of God? You know, Paul talks about how a married man is a divided man, and rightfully so. He has to be concerned with matters of his wife, and you know, and that's important, and that's very important. But for the man who's discerning a religious vocation or or whatever, you know, I mean, he can be single-hearted. And I know in my own singlehood, I'm still single, you know, I've been able to serve the Lord in amazing ways as a single man because I'm not pulled in those directions as I would be as a married man. I'm about to enter into marriage next year, so I'm going to feel that pull even more. And that's fine. That's still a wonderful thing. That's still a wonderful vocation. But we as men need to say, what are we thirsty for? You know, are we thirsty for? Is God calling us to marriage? Is he calling us to serve him? I think so many men are afraid, and I know myself, Joe, I was afraid that God might be calling me to the priesthood or that God might be calling me to a consecrated single life. And we cannot be afraid. And, you know, we have to know that Jesus isn't going to ask us to do anything that isn't going to be good for us. And so the world beats us up. And we have to turn away and reject what the world keeps telling us if we're truly going to find help in this life, because, you know, it'll take us in so many different directions. And I just said, the final thing is, what are you willing to die for? What are you passionate for? The world doesn't need men who don't have passion. You know, find something that you're passionate about and do it, you know, and be involved. And hopefully, you know, Christ is at the center of that passion. It's not a misguided, you know, passion there. But find what you're doing that you love and make the world better through it. So I think, you know, it begins there, and then you can plug in and start serving in different apostolates and different groups that are around. You know, you can get involved in your church, you know, with RCIA or pre-cane or CCD. I mean, how many men aren't involved in CCD? It's mostly women. I was a CCD teacher for a year. But so even in doing that and just getting out there, you don't have to be perfect. You know, we're imperfect men, but we're transformed. And a man must lead with his weakness. So despite his weakness and his limitations, he can still be of service. And if he comes to the Lord and says, Lord, you know, he likes it when we recognize our weakness, because then that's when he can show his strength. You know, my strength is made perfect through weakness, that we learn in Corinthians. And so men need to see that they don't need to be perfect to be in battle. They can be out there. God can continue to transform them. And as St. Francis de Sales says, if you struggle with a virtue, whether it's chastity or whatever, keep making a public statement about it, and the Lord will continue to help and guide and bring you to this fullness of your masculinity that we're all searching for.
Absolutely. The other thing that I think I would probably just add is,
please
remember, coming through my conversion, realizing that I needed to be pure, to have sexual integrity, and just instantly knowing that I thirsted for God for the first time, but I didn't have a clue about my faith. And I was also feeling very embarrassed to pray. I knew I needed to lead my family in spirituality and prayer, lead them to God, but I didn't know what that meant or how to do it. And I was embarrassed to pray because I didn't know how to talk to God. And when you were talking, those thoughts came to my mind that there's probably a lot of men who are struggling, you know, not only with sexual integrity, but also just being a man, whether it's in their single life or in a married life, you know, to be a man of faith, a man of God, and to maybe be embarrassed by this. Because when you were saying, like, there's not enough men who are in CCD, I taught CCD as well for a little while, and you're right. I was surrounded by mostly women. I put on, you know, weekend retreats for junior high kids, and there would be only other women teaching, and I was the only man there. And also, I went to Eucharistic Adoration, and it was during the day, it was during my lunch hour, so it was three other women and me, you know. So we do need to encourage men to step up and to not be embarrassed. You're going to learn, you're going to grow in your faith, but don't be embarrassed to speak to God, because no matter what comes out of your mouth, it's all precious to God, because you're attempting that. Wouldn't you agree?
Oh, absolutely. And you're right. You're right. I mean, once these men start to be formed on a natural level, and then the church comes alive for this man. You know, the church is a great treasure, a great jewel, and there's so much to offer each man. But I agree with you. The men need to tap into their faith, their apologetics. I know for myself, it came through dating some Protestant women that I really started to learn my faith. And I think the men, have the ability to you know, learn the faith in their adult life. They don't have to think, well, you know, I have it, I'm a cradle Catholic. You know, most of us don't even know the first thing about what we believe as men that are cradle Catholics. And so I invite, as you say, you know, men to start learning how, picking up books on prayer, picking up books on apologetics, on different things so that we can defend the faith. And then, as you said, exposing that to the light of Christ, going to adoration, going to the Blessed Sacrament, adoring our Lord, and learning how to listen. So many men, we're so quick, and we do this with our wives, we do this with our girlfriends, we want to tell them what they need to do when they ask us for help. What really they're asking for, Joe, and you probably know this better than anybody, is they just want us to listen. And if our wives are teaching that, I mean, and women in general have this relationship with God that it just comes much more natural to them. And so we as men can learn a lot from them. They're asking us to listen, and so is Jesus. He's asking us to listen first before he's going to give us our marching orders. And as you say, you know, going before the Lord in adoration and learning how to pray. Pray is not just always asking. Pray is about listening, probably first and foremost. And then Jesus can then put on our hearts what he wants for us, and then we can begin to move where he wants us to be. And so I just second everything you just said and say, absolutely, amen. Continue to learn the faith. Learn different forms of prayer. Know what your spirituality is. I mean, we all have different types of spirituality. Mine's an Augustinian spirituality, you know. Learn about the saints. Maybe there's certain saints that you're attracted to more so than others. Learn about their spiritual path and draw on it for your own journey. I mean, so many times we think that there's nothing to say to us today, but the saints have everything to say to us today, and it's timeless stuff.
Praise God, praise God. You know, listening is probably one of the biggest things that a man can learn to do, is to be patient and to listen. Actually, listen with, you know, with his heart. You know, especially you're going to enter the vocation of marriage here next week, or next year rather, and God bless you. I'll pray for you. I know what that's like. And you know, learning to listen is very tough, especially learning to listen to God. I mean, yesterday I was sitting there in adoration thinking, okay, all right, God, I'm just going to be quiet and I'll listen. And I couldn't prevent myself from just thinking and about other things, or just wanting to pray and speak and, you know, to be still before the Lord and receive his grace. Right. And receive his marching orders, like you say, is a developed habit that we just need to practice that, and practice makes perfect. So, okay, so how can we get the news out? What can we do as laymen, or even priests who may be listening to this, or deacons, or religious? What can we do to help further, you know, your apostolate, help further this cause?
Well, again, it's just a matter of you know, growing where you're planted, I would say. You know, everyone, when we come out of like talks or we give retreats or conferences, they're real excited, you know, and we need to have temperance. You know, this is a cardinal virtue, and you know, we need to temper our zeal in a lot of ways, even though zeal is very important. A lot of times, you know, it's a journey. It's a war that we're waging. So we might have the energy for the battle, but you know, if we're not prepared to enter the battle, we can get cut down very quickly. So how do we spread the good news about apostolic work, like the King's Men or anything else that's out there? We need to start with ourselves first, and we need to get trained. You know, we need to learn how to be engaged in battle. So you're talking about prayer, you're talking about things like this. That's just a piece of it. You know, there's ways that men can help themselves to be out there in the world, be engaged in the battle, you know, certainly through reading scripture, certainly through devotionals. We can pick up pieces there. But just on a very natural level, men need to be formed. So if a man is listening, and priests are listening to this podcast, and they want to help their men in their parish, they need to help their men be formed on a very natural level first. And that could mean simply getting the men out and taking them out in the woods and taking a hike, going mountain climbing, or just doing something as men. It could be go out and playing paintball. You know, doing something like that to activate those masculine potencies and get these men coming alive. And that's gonna ignite the parish. That's gonna excite the people in the parish. That's gonna get men. I want to work with men in the apostles, the king's men that are excited, that are just passionate about doing the work of God. And so I think we need to activate that. Whether that means, you know, you as men or in your parish or getting together and going out and watching a ball game. You know, not necessarily indulging in the negativity that's related to some of that negative male bonding that comes through sports. But maybe just playing a sport, you know, as men, and activating those different virtues that we need to draw upon, like courage, like fortitude. Because what do we learn from sports? We learn how to form our will. And so if we're going to spread the good news, you know, we need to suffer and endure some scars first. We need to have some battle scars. We need to have them so that we can then be equipped to lead other men. Because really, if you think about it, Joe, you know, the guys that enlist in the military, that are enlisted men, and they're serving, and they're just serving under other men. Let's say I'm a new graduate out of, say, Annapolis or West Point, and I've never seen any battle, but now I'm put in charge of all these enlisted men. They're not going to respect me. They're not going to respect me because I'm not battle-tested. They may respect my title, but they will not necessarily follow, and they'll do it out of duty and what they're called to do. They're not necessarily going to follow a man who's not been battle-tested. So if we're going to truly spread the good news, and we have to get ourselves in a situation where we can be plugged in with a network, a band of brothers. And that's why the Kingsmen Apostle, we have weekly accountability and formation. You got the great program, That Man Is You, That Man Is You. And these are things that men can do to start preparing themselves and getting the training that they need to go out there, because they're going to be called at times to be by themselves, and you know, that can be very daunting, that can be very intimidating. And so, but if we know we have the men behind us, and we've come from these different platoons, apostolates, you know, we will have the strength, and of course we know we have the Father, Son, the Holy Spirit on our side as well.
Amen. So you mentioned that you have a weekly accountability. Is that in the same model as, say, Alcoholics Anonymous or Narcotics Anonymous kind of a thing?
Well, it's not an SA or AA program, although they're doing great work. I mean, those 12-step programs are excellent. You know, our program is not a 12-step, although we borrow some ideas from those things. We are, it's geared for everybody and at every point in his journey. He doesn't have to be an addict in any area of his life. But wonderful program is that. But no, we're primarily a group of men, and we say accountability. We're giving men an opportunity to just come and be real with each other. And that doesn't mean they divulge their whole sin history, give a moral inventory. They don't have to do that. But we want men to lead with their weakness. And so this accountability that's fostered in our meetings is an opportunity for a man to do just that, to give an account of where he's at. And he makes commitments each week. He makes commitments to grow in holiness. And when he comes back to the group the following week, that's why it's so important to keep plugging in every week, he comes forward and he says if he did what he said he wanted to do or planned on doing for that week. And that's how accountability can be fostered. So it's not an in-your-face accountability. It's only at the level of that each man is prepared to commit for himself. We have education pieces to our meetings where we're diving into books, DVDs that are authentically masculine, authentically Catholic. So you want to have for yourself a group that's meeting that is going to offer that accountability piece, but also you're diving into the Apostolic Fathers. You're digging into, you know, works of John Paul. You know, you're reading great books on virtue and all these things. You're reading the Catechism. You're reading Scripture, and it could be a combination of all that. So our groups really revolve around that, and then offer kind of men this secondary opportunity to really just be real with each other.
I belong to a men's prayer group that meets twice a month, and it's on Saturday mornings. It starts early at 7:30, and we go usually about an hour or so, and we either pray, you know, like the Divine Office one Saturday, and the next office will pray the Rosary, or the next Saturday we'll pray the Rosary. And then we'll have, you know, social time after at the coffee house nearby. But yeah, I belong to many different versions of men's type groups. I'm a Knight of Columbus. You know, I've been to men's prayer breakfasts and
the St. Joseph's men's group. And I got to tell you, this is the first time that I've been around a group of men who love to pray. And like what you were saying in your accountability groups, this is a group of men who will be honest when they're praying in this group. And I find that so inspirational and refreshing, you know, and I know it's tough to fit it in to the schedule every time because I'm married, I have kids and busyness of life, but it really is, it's a priority, you know, to support this group and to encourage these men, you know, to come to this group and just and take off the face, the veil, the masks that we put up. I went to the men's retreat weekend with this parish in this past Lent, and that was the theme: take off the mask that we put up every day. And that's exactly what I think you're speaking about. And have this opportunity to be around other men and not feel judged by them, but at the same time to feel as though that they're supporting you, they're going to encourage you in this process, and they're going to help you walk the walk with Christ. And I experienced that, and I want every man to experience that. Can men who might be listening to this podcast, can they contact you? Are they able to get a hold of you? And can you maybe provide materials or encouragement and teach them how to do one of these sort of small groups?
Sure, absolutely. Now, we have some resources that we've put together to help men get like a men's group started in their parish. We don't have it to the level that we would hope to one day where, you know, we have a curriculum or something like that. But certainly, I'd be happy to help any man and guide them where they need to be. If they want to go to our website, www.thekingsmen.us, they can get my contact information there and, you know, all my phone number, whatever, if they even wanted to dialogue and talk. But I would just add what you're saying, you know, with these meetings and prioritizing is, you know, sometimes we go to these meetings, you know, for ourselves, and sometimes we go to these meetings for the other men. And there are times when, you know, maybe we really don't need it, maybe we're in a good place spiritually, but, you know, men are so easily able to compartmentalize their life and say, well, I'm in a good place with my spirituality, I don't need it, and isolate themselves. And it's so important, as you say, Joe, to keep plugging in. And if I can be of any assistance or offer resources and CDs, and we have CDs and DVDs and stuff that we can, you know, put in men's hands that'll help them, I'd be more than happy to do so. And again, if they just want to go to our website, that would be the easiest thing to do for them.
That's fantastic. So what do you got coming up? What's on the agenda for the Kingsmen? Do you have any seminars coming up?
Sure do. It's exciting. We're 1 year, as I said, into this work, and, you know, we got our advisory board in place, so we're really planning for the future. We have this upcoming retreat in Mount Kisco, New York. We're in Philadelphia here. It's about a two-hour ride, two-and-a-half-hour ride for us, but men can fly in. They're flying all over the country for this weekend retreat experience called the Knights Weekend. It's part of a leadership program that Dr. Philip Mango developed called the Warrior Brothers. And so men are going to be flying into Our Lady of Mount Kisco Retreat Center in New York on the weekend of October 26th to the 28th. We still have about 20 spots available, if men want to plug in. But it's a way to really uncover the archetypes that are in men that have really come out and emerged from the theology of the body. These archetypes are the king, the warrior, the lover, the wise counselor. And Dr. Mango is going to take us through these archetypes, and we're going to give men an opportunity to experience their spirituality in a masculine way, but also have an educational and experiential type of a program where they can go outdoors and build stuff and use their hands. So that's exciting. We're going to be doing that once or twice a year. We did one back in May. This is a follow-up to that weekend. We'll have other conferences upcoming. Probably our next men's conference locally here in the Philadelphia area of Washington, Maryland, New Jersey area. We're going to do one probably like in March. So it's exciting. We have our ongoing activism that we're doing here locally, where we have the No More Porn Tour, where men go out and a guy can do this. Anybody that's listening to this podcast, you know, just get a bunch of men and go out to a sexually oriented business and get some signs, write them on a piece of canvas or whatever you got, and put your message out there. Start taking your faith to action and just reach out to men. I can get guys some brochures if they want to do that stuff. But that's ongoing. We got a war room for men where men are coming together every month for strategizing on how to combat the issues like abortion and the contraceptive mentality and pornography. So, you know, these are things that we're doing locally here that men can borrow and use for their own benefit in their community. The media thing, as I said, would be that retreat weekend. If anyone wants to get more information on that, again, just go to the website, www.thekingsmen.us, and we can get them plugged in.
And are we able to try to convince you to have seminars elsewhere, or is the Northeast pretty much the limit to that?
Yeah, well, you know, we have a lot of men that are coming forward telling us, you got anything in the Midwest? You know, we got guys in Louisiana. We were just down in Mobile, Alabama for a day of recollection for men. And that's the goal. That is the part of the long-term plan. I just met with John Ed Bankovic, who's on Women of Grace at EWTN, and he has her national retreats for women. And so many women are coming up to her saying, what about for our husbands? What can we give them? And she never really had anything to offer them. But when I spoke with her and when we met when she was up here in the Philadelphia area this past weekend, she said, perhaps you guys can piggyback some of these national conferences where we'll have them and you guys can be there and, you know, have a table or maybe give a talk or have a workshop. So that might be forthcoming. I can't say, you know, there's anything right now, but, you know, we have a lot of people in those areas in the West Coast even that really like what we're doing. But, you know, we hope that through this apostolate and through work that you're doing, Joe, and that men will start to you know, develop these things themselves, because they can do it. They don't have to wait on us. You know, we were just a bunch of guys, three guys that just decided enough's enough. You know, so you can be so fed up with what's going on in your community that inspires you to start doing something like this. And it doesn't take much. I mean, we have so many women that believe in what we're doing. You get the women excited, they're gonna tell their men. They're not necessarily going to tell them what to do, but they're going to invite them. And that's kind of tricky, because a man can't always necessarily take, he's not always going to respond when a woman's telling him this is what he's got to do. But, you know, the women can share the message with the men and then invite them through us, through you, through other programs, to just take their faith to another level. And hopefully the men are open-minded enough and humble enough to recognize that these women aren't trying to lead them, but just kind of share something that they maybe stumbled upon.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, my wife was the one who was poking me and prodding me. Hey, you need to get up and go to that man as you. You know, these women are hungry for men to be, to have integrity, these men to be leaders, to be masculine, sure, and to lead the family, to take charge and be men of God. You know, and a lot of my personal prayer is to, you know, think and just say, you know, make me a man after your heart. Make me a man who seeks after you every day. And women, and that, it's really attractive to women, to be perfectly honest. You know, women, they find security in that. They find comfort in that. So, you know, there's really no downside to being a godly man. And so, yeah, absolutely, men need to step up and do that. But I got to tell you, I really wanted to get serious about getting you down here for a parish council or for at least a regional seminar. Maybe we could set something up. We could talk about that in greater detail. But how can my listeners plug into your radio show again? Can maybe the podcast or the radio show, if you can give them some information on that.
Yeah, thanks, Joe. Our podcast, our radio program is always archived on our website. And you can go to the podcast page and get all the download for your podcast or iPod rather, and that they're always there. You can always listen online at HolySpiritRadio.org. The organization that I do where I do the radio program is called Holy Spirit Radio. They're an affiliate of EWTN, so you can go to their website again. It's HolySpiritRadio.org and listen live. We host the show every second and fourth Friday of the month. My next guest will be Dr. Philip Mango. He'll be talking about that upcoming weekend in New York that I talked about previously. And he'll be on October 12th, will be our next program. And then again the fourth Friday of the month. And we usually have a new guest. It's not always the same guest. We've had a couple repeat guests. But it's always pretty much someone who is doing something with masculinity that I've stumbled upon. Again, Joe, I'd like to have you on in the future, and you know, but they can always get all the old programs and download them. A lot of hits on our podcast page. It's exciting to see how many men are actually, and I'm sure you get a lot of it too, Joe, or how many men are actually a lot of men like listening to the stuff on the car while they're driving to work or wherever they're traveling. So if we can give them a forum to grow in their faith, hey, that's wonderful.
Absolutely. Praise God. Well, Mark, I really do appreciate you taking time out of your busy life to spend some time with me and talk to me about all this on the podcast. Do you want to leave us with any last words?
Well, John, I just want to thank you for all you're doing with your programs and just keep up the fight. And I just invite the men to just listen to these programs, to listen to your programs regularly and to tap into their faith and just see what the Lord wants to do in their life, because it's such a need for men. As I said, the church is only as strong as its men, and if each one of us, I mean, when we come together as men, if one man fails, it's the failure of all of us. If one man succeeds, it's the success of all of us. So I'll leave you with these words, Proverbs 27, verse 17, iron sharpens iron, and just as iron sharpens iron, so does one man for another. We need to be that for each other. We need to be that for our church. Now is the time, and it couldn't be a more better opportunity than today to start taking your faith seriously and stepping up and becoming that leader that God has created you to be.
Praise God. Thank you very much, Mark.
All right, Joe, God bless. I look forward to talking to you.
God bless. Take care.
See you now.
Wasn't that a fantastic interview with Mark Houck of the Kingsmen? Please go and stop by and check out his website. There'll be a link on the blog for you. And send him some feedback. Let him know how much you appreciate what he is doing for the glory of God. Do me a favor. Let him know the Catholic Hack sent you. Also, please go by the blog. Leave me your feedback. You can send me email. You can visit me on iTunes. You can visit me on Facebook or Twitter or many other Disciples of Microphones. There's many ways for you to get a hold of me. There's the voicemail feedback line, 206-888-1732. That's my three-month-old son in the background making squealing noises. So anyway, I really appreciate you listening to the podcast. I want to ask that you'll send this podcast to family and friends and let them know how much you've enjoyed this. And let's spread the word. You know, that's what leaving me the review on iTunes really does for me. But by all means, let the world know about the Catholic Hack. Thank you once again for your support. Thank you for listening. May God richly bless you. Bye-bye.
The Catholic Hack, the best in parking lot podcasting.